Welcome to Lawmen, a podcast about local legends and obscure curiosities from days of yore. I'm James Shakeshaft.
And I'm Alistair Beckett-King.
And Alistair, I took us way up high to the highest of all peaks.
Ooh.
Well, no, to a place called High Peak.
We did a live stream about this, right?
Yeah, we did the live stream, and this is the edited version of that live stream.
Nice. Some of the jokes are from the chat, but that's fine.
It's fine for the chat. It's not good for us as professional comedy merchants.
Is that how you see us?
Yeah.
Mm.
Well.
So what's the story?
Oh, it's scary. It's the story of the miner and the ghost.
Great question from Minty Fresco. When did your end and post your
and
begin?
When does your end and my begin? I don't know anymore, Alistair.
That's like a barely literate pop song. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
When does my end and you begin?
I would say your ended when they put up the time memorial.
Time memorial?
Yeah, since they erected the time memorial. And then before that was days of yore.
Yeah, okay, all right, that's good to know, that's good to know.
Would you like to hear a story, Alistair?
I'd absolutely love to hear a story.
This story takes place in the Peak District, which is sort of north, isn't it? It's kind of, it's Manchester adjacent.
Very convenient for the city of Manchester.
And one thing I learned, there is a White Peak, and this tale, I believe, takes place on Dark Peak. Turns out my wife's half from Mordor.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that does explain why when you go there, you have to carry her.
This particular tale, I've got a little soups on tale, a little sort of amuse-bouche tale for you.
I love it when you amuse the bouches before you start.
This is from the same tiny village of Stony Middleton. It's right next door to Eam, of the Plague Village of Eam fame.
Eam is familiar. Stony Middleton sounds like Tony Middleton, which sounds like a snooker player, probably.
Tony Middleton. This story takes place just up the road from the Lover's Leap Garage.
Whoa.
Which is the site where, in 1762, Hannah Baddeley, whose beau, Billy Barnsley, I'm glad I got a pop shield for this, had gone off her. And so she threw herself off the highest point of this sort of cliffy bit there, 80 feet up.
Ooh.
But her fall was broken by a thorn bush and her petticoat formed a kind of parachute. And she survived.
Oh,
and
wow.
She realised she'd quite gone off William Bardsley. And she She lived for 2 more years. And then,
was that considered a good innings at the time?
It was the past. That was probably really, really well done.
Did she die of leap-related injuries?
It doesn't
or
say.
Or was it completely coincidental?
I think she... I don't think she was unharmed from the leap, if I'm perfectly honest.
No.
But I don't think that was a direct cause of death for her. These stories, by the way, are coming from this wonderful book, Tales and Traditions of the High Peak, by William Wood.
William Wood?
William Wood of Eam. He says, there used to be an inn called the Lover's Leap, kept by Samuel Mason, and direct quote, whose heart is in the right place.
Oh.
And that's the end of his description of him.
I mean, these days that I would assume he was flaming racist, but in those days...
His heart was in the right place. End of description.
I don't know. What does that mean?
Either very clinical or, I mean, there's a lot more story. He's in the right place, as far as I know. If you follow, there's a road with a little stream by the side of it. And if you follow that west, just to the bit where the lane goes off to Eam, you'll find the Ball Inn pub. Well, the Ball Inn. Actually, it doesn't need pub on the end.
Like Ball Inn apostrophe.
Yeah, that's where they were kicking it in the olden days.
Yeah.
Don't look for it. It's not there. The Ball Inn pub's no longer there.
What happened to the Ball Inn pub? Jumped off the cliff as well?
Oh, I don't know. Just time and that.
Time.
200 yards off to your right, there was a dilapidated cottage nestling underneath a ledge and amongst some trees, this old cottage, all the windows were smashed, had been smashed by brats, apparently.
Brats. Classic brat behaviour. There is breaking windows, there is putting a bucket of water on a doorframe.
On a doorframe.
So that when you come in, you brats! And there is kicking a ball over a fence into your garden. That's the triumvirate of brat behaviour right there.
And you know what? They've climbed over the fence.
Yeah, they don't even come round and ring the door. Climb over the fence. You brats!
Yeah. So if I say now, I'm talking about the time that this guy was writing, which was 1862. So no one lives there now.
Okay, that is an excellent get out. When I say now, I mean 1862.
In 1862, no one lives there. No one alive. Although I covered that, because I don't think the dead live anywhere, do they?
That's living. No one lives there apart from a ghost who doesn't live there.
Yeah, because they're a ghost. They don't live.
Yeah.
Anyway, ooh, there's a ghost. Boo.
Oh, spoiler, a ghost.
It's seen in the form of an old lady, and apparently it's seen crossing the dell at great speed to and fro across the dell, which sounds, that's quite freakish. That's sort of like that.
Yeah.
You know, in horror films, when they do that thing where there's the sort of, yeah, things move too fast.
Yeah.
I think that's why people are scared of spiders.
Yes.
Because they move faster than you can see. I don't think you actually ever see a spider move.
It looks like stop motion.
Yeah.
There's no motion blur on them, and there's no motion blur on your scary Japanese ladies who come out of the tellies and stuff.
Yes.
That's why they look, as an animator, as a sometime animator, that's my considered opinion of why they look creepy, why spiders look creepy. Have you ever seen Nosferatu?
The original?
Yeah, F.W. Murnau's 1920-something.
Yes, yeah.
A classic horror film. They couldn't get the rights to Dracula, and so they said, well, what we'll do is change the name of Dracula and keep everything else the same.
Mm.
And it didn't work, and they got in huge trouble, and nearly every copy was destroyed. But luckily, some copies survived, and we have a classic early horror film to watch. But one of the things they do to make him look creepy is they undercrank all of the scenes where Dracula is running about and doing things like loading his coffins onto a truck so that he can travel. And so he just zips about doing it incredibly quickly. But the problem is we've got fast forward now and it isn't scary. It just looks like a fast forwarded man doing stuff. The sinister creepiness of Dracula is somewhat lost when he moves at like speed.
But back then,
they were like, whoa, how can anyone go that fast?
You will believe a man can run. That was the catchphrase, wasn't it?
Hello, Kieran is saying exactly. It's basically Benny Hill Dracula is what they did unwittingly, inventing both the horror movie and Benny Hill simultaneously.
Yeah, both terrifying.
Equally terrifying. So this is presumably the technique they've used to make that scary lady. Axolotl Pete has just said a joke that I can't possibly pass up on my own because it's too good. Drackety sax.
Oh, nice.
Can't do it for copyright reasons.
You're that anyway. You've got perfect pitch.
Yep. So exactly the same. as Jackie Sax. That in reality, there's no such instrument as the saxophone. It is just people doing it with their mouths. Little fact.
That's a good fact. So the thing that makes this woman scary,
creepy old lady,
unlike spiders, you don't eat three of her in your lifetime whilst asleep.
I thought it was
as
every
far
night.
As we know,
I thought you ate three spiders a night.
What? And with this figure?
I don't believe that any scientist has ever researched whether you eat three spiders. I think that is a made-up fact.
It's a good made-up fact.
Oh, yeah. As made-up facts go, it's right at the top. Along with you lose 90% of your heat out of your head. That's not true.
Yeah. Conkers also scare spiders. Conkers scare spiders.
Do conkers scare spiders?
Yeah. If you go to someone's house and they've got conkers in the room, it's because they think that they're keeping spiders out.
Wow. Oh. Is it like the way that cucumbers scare cats?
Is that true? I don't want to encourage people who put videos of that on YouTube by watching too many of them. I was watering the garden using a hose, and my cat was very fascinated with the hose, which was green and moving.
Like
a snake that was just throwing up.
A projectile vomiting snake. Maybe the cat was concerned and was looking to administer CPR or basic first aid.
I'm glad you've released him from his circular prison, but he does not seem well.
Oh, awful.
So, yeah, this little flickering lady is flickering across the dell. When people used to live in the cottage, at night she would strip the bedclothes off the bed with people still in it. So kind of doing the old whoop trick.
The magician's pulling on the tablecloth.
The old whoop, yeah.
Leaving the candlestick.
Yes.
Exactly where they, so that she'd pull the sheet out from beneath
pull
you.
Pull the sheets out, and I'm guessing the duvets, and you're still there in your bed, but now you're terrified.
Did they have duvets in the 19th century? I thought they just had like coarse woolen blankets, I think.
She'd yoink your bedclothes off you as soon as terrify you. Whoop.
Wow.
And it says in the recounting that she assumed various forms. Annoyingly, none of them are listed, apart from old woman. And apparently she mostly would appear in the format of a middle-aged woman.
Classic format.
Standard format.
I'll just have your basic middle-aged woman, please.
It's a standard middle-aged woman. We're going to future-proof it, so we're going to do this in middle-aged woman format.
Yeah, a lot of people sniff at it, but actually, in terms of fidelity, you can't get better than standard middle-aged woman format.
It actually lost out to VHS because they wouldn't put porn on it.
Technically, it was a higher quality format.
Oh, they still use it in the industry, mate. I don't know why it sort of became Australian. And with a linsey petticoat, I had to Google that. It's a type of petticoat that looks like it's made out of curtains. Really solid, thick petticoat, which is probably also what helped save old Hannah Baddeley.
Parachute petticoats.
Parachute petticoats, yes. As she was an unofficial nickname. And a mobbed cap. I did not know what the heck that meant, so I Googled it and I...
I think you're on your own in not knowing what a mob cap is,
really,
James. I think everybody...
You knew.
If I said
mob cap, you'd be like...
I would have known it was one of those little white hats that West Country serving maids wear in period dramas. And they say things like, oh, the Lord, he's fallen off his horse. The young master, he'll be so upset.
Get the doctor. Yeah, stuff like that.
You know the character, but you just didn't know what that was called.
So, yeah, anyway, she's got one of them on and boots with very shiny buckles.
Oh,
yeah.
The ghost's wearing shiny buckles.
Very shiny buckles. She would apparently glide through the keyhole and go in and out through other small holes in the wall, which that's kind of...
That, like Eugene Toombs, just sort of...
I don't know if she would... Yeah, if she sort of syruped down and in and through... Or if she just shrank down really little and then just walked through and then grew back up again.
That's much less scary. No, if she, I'm imagining her grotesquely distorting to fit through a small hole.
But really quickly as well, really quick, too quick.
She's got some real cinematic moves on her, this lady.
Yeah. And apparently around there, her existence was fact. Like, no one doubted that she existed. Everyone was terrified to go past there. And there was no debate as to whether it was there. And so, 60 years before this book was written, and this book was written in 1862, so we're talking around 1802.
Maths fans, making note.
The landlord of the Ball Inn, Stephen, and he's done that thing again where he's just missed out the name, Stephen Dash W.
He's just said a letter and then done a dash.
It's playing hangman. Maybe that was it. Did they like playing hangman in the old days?
Yeah, they loved it. Combination of spelling and murder.
Yeah, so Stephen S. ends in W was the landlord with his wife Blandy. Of course, short for Blandino.
What? How is that not the name of one of your relative's gangster mates from East London?
I don't know. Her name was Blandino.
Blandino?
She's been named by an absolute lad.
What, did she do card tricks? What did she do?
She was a bantsmonger, I'm guessing. Oh, it's Blandino. No, she was French.
Fair enough.
And apparently it's a French name, and it means like really nice and beautiful.
Oh.
Blandino.
Who knew?
But yeah, so a local in that pub, old Tom Loxley.
Oh, what?
That's his real name. Do you want to know his nickname?
What's his nickname?
Cockeye.
Oh, the sailor man?
Yeah, Cockeye. He was a topper.
Interesting.
Which meant he liked to drink.
Ah.
He was a minor.
We shouldn't have been drinking then.
He was in there.
James, you missed my minor joke. I'd like to wheel back and do my minor joke again.
I'm sorry. He was a minor.
Shouldn't have been drinking then.
Nice.
Continue with the podcast now that you've acknowledged my joke.
You're welcome. One November night, he was seated with his brother toppers round the cup and glass covered table at the Ball Inn. They were having a good old time. They were having a laugh and a fun time. Blandy was there. Blandy was noted at being very good at
Blandino.
Keeping Blandino. The conversation.
Blandino.
Everyone was having a great time. They were laughing. Apparently, there were roars of laughter that made the pewter dishes tingle on the shelves.
Mm.
I really like this guy's turn of phrase. Thus hours flew on angel's wings until the sable-faced clock had announced the noon of night. That's nice.
James, you can't build up a reputation for hating poetry and then start whipping out purple prose like that and saying you like it.
It's
come on.
It's talking about a pub.
Oh, of course. Yeah, and you're
just very accurate.
That is a lovely passage.
The noon
Beautiful.
Of night. I like that.
Is that midnight?
Midnight it means. It means midnight, the noon of night.
Midnight, all right, yeah.
The noon of night.
Nobody calls it that. Stop trying to make noon of night happen.
I'm gonna make noon of night a thing.
No. Nope.
I'm gonna do it.
No. Nope.
If you're out with me around 11:30, I'm gonna be rubbing
your hands together.
Also, I'm going to be really, really tired.
Yeah, you've got two kids. You're not allowed out at that time now.
I will be knackered. I'll be looking for a bed. If they wanted to appeal to parents with young children, they should have a pub bed.
Pub bed?
A pub bed.
Ooh.
So you can just go in and have a quick nap.
Yeah, so they've got like the bar and then the lounge area, the saloon area and then the nook sometimes.
Mm.
And then a little pub bed, which would be... disgusting.
It would be horrible. Yeah, if you think how bad a sofa gets.
Yeah. Have you seen what the toilets look like? And then just a bed. You're just going to crawl into that bed.
It was the noon of night. That's where we got to. Cockeye knew that he had to walk home past the cottage, the haunted cottage. And he's getting a little bit worried. And his mates were trying to rally him up and kind of wind him up a little bit that he was going to get scared by the ghost.
Yeah.
And Blandy said, cheer up, Cockeye. Not afraid of woman, nor her spirit certain. That was a French accent.
No, it's beautiful, beautiful.
And he says, nor the D-L neither, with another quart, lads.
Daniel, you reckon Daniel in there? Who was he afraid of?
Nor the Daniel.
Not afraid of Daniel. I think we can say devil on the podcast.
He's fine to say cockeye. Anyway, and then the host is like, oh, come on, we shouldn't only be talking about, it's a bit, you know... We don't want to be winding up a ghost. Also, that's his neighbour.
Mm-hmm.
If they can get in through those little tiny gaps, they can probably hear it, people in his pub slagging him off. And then Mrs. Blandino says, "'Tis sad, mon cher, that a woman whose spirit still wanders the dell came to an untimely end." And I think the point she's trying to make there is, wonder what happened to her to make her this ghost.
Oh, you're weaving in a little bit of mystery into the story.
No one really knows why she's a ghost or who she is, or because she's taken many forms. She doesn't like a made bed. We know that much. Or she is a up-and-coming magician that just needs to practice. The old...
Nothing is more terrifying than a magician who needs to practice. That is a frightening prospect.
So Blandy's basically saying, I wonder why... she haunts this area so terrifyingly.
Great question.
And Cockeye
good
says...
Good question, Blandy.
Another drop more, good landlady, and I'll ask her that question this night, said Cockeye, now almost incapable of sitting in his chair. So he's so drunk he can't sit.
Mm.
So...
Can I just say now, can I just put on the record that I think this guy's testimony is unquestionable from this point onwards... I mean, this guy's account of whatever happens, and I don't know what it's going to be, but I think it is going to be God's truth.
Everyone goes off to go home. It's near 3 o'clock in the morning, a.k.a. the witching hour.
Well past night's noon.
It's sort of night's afternoon now, which doesn't
Night's afternoon. That's not sound as spooky.
Yeah. The moon shed her silver beams on the grim rocks that rose around like towering battlements. That's a bit fancy. So he's making his way across, and... as he's staggering on, apparently at every successive step, he became more and more subject to peculiar and impressive sensations. Fear, deep and undefined, began to creep around his heart as he glanced frequently around him. Forward, however, he bent his way, but as he approached the cottage, the haunt of the ghost, he beheld, in the centre of the shadow of the cottage, a figure. A human form. A kind of
shadow person.
And a cold sweat overspread his brow when his heart rattled in his His heart rattled in his bosom.
Sorry, did you make yourself laugh by saying the word bosom? That sounded an awful lot like you went, and his heart rattled in his bosom.
Bosom.
Bosom. It was very much a reading around the class in English at school situation there. It's like, bosom. Oh, everyone's throwing paper aeroplanes. Oh, bosom.
Bosom. It was the next, because I looked onto the next line, and it's what he an attempt to cry this word almost choked him. And the word is spelt H-O-L-L-O. So he attempted to cry, hello. And in his imagination, the glance of the ghost met his eye, and he just did what you would do in this situation, fell straight down on the ground, face down.
Yep.
But the shadow-like woman seized him by the ankles and dragged him at racehorse speed backwards down the dell. On and on they went, quick as thought, and the sensation he felt in this most horrible predicament was the deadly coldness that preceded him from the hands of the ghost. A chilliness crept from his feet to his body and froze his very heart within him. And after suffering this sensation for some time, the scene closed on his recollection. And then the dawn, the next morning, the landlord of the Ball Inn goes to have a little look around, you know, just a little walk around in the morning if you want to go.
Yeah, why not?
It's lovely. And he goes, he sees the little stream running along the side of the dell. On the edge of that stream is Cockeye, and his feet are in the stream.
He's probably weed himself then.
I don't know if it's feet, because it's meant to be hands in water causes you to wee yourself.
If you wee yourself with hands in water, think what feet will do.
Oh, gosh. That was the selling point for foot baths, foot spas. If you wee yourself when you put your hands in water, just think what a foot spa will do.
Mm-mm-mm. Don't fall asleep.
He'd fallen dead drunk, and in tossing around, his legs had become immersed in the stream, and he had the impression of the icy hands of the ghost. He'd fallen in the stream. And he dreamt it was a ghost.
Oh,
or did he?
Don't toy with my emotions, James.
He would often relate his adventure, and he became, from that time, a sober and worthy man.
He literally did the classic 1940s movie thing of seeing something weird, looking at a bottle, and flinging it over his shoulder and saying, not another drop.
Never again.
Wow. Oh.
So that's the story of the miner and the ghost.
Good old Cockeye.
Good old Cockeye.
Good old Blandino.
And of course, not forgetting, Blandino.
What a name. That's a cracking tale.
Chilling though, right?
I'll tell you what, I think the creepy old lady who moves in fast motion and sucks through door holes, sucks herself through keyholes, I'm going to try and phrase that a third way, zips through keyholes, is... I think one of the scarier spirits we've encountered on the podcast.
Let's kick it off with a bang then. Are you ready to score me?
Yes, I am. Let's do it.
Supernatural.
It's flipping high. She whips the bedclothes off when you're sleeping in that very cot. What?
What?
I actually rhymed there. That's how freaked out I was. You've turned me into a poet, James. She's an X-Files monster. She's horrible. She doesn't have any motion blur, as we've established, which makes her look unheimlich.
Yeah.
It's just slightly wrong. She's Ray Harryhausening her way across the dell.
Yeah, there's something off. She's a mooey.
She's a mooey.
She's basically a mooey.
Mooey warning. She'd be mooey.
Spoiler alert, mooey warning. She's a mooey.
She's a shadow creature.
Because the other thing that happened to my mate, when he experienced the mooeys, he would often just wake up in a random place. He would wake up in a random bathroom. In fact, there's a water connection there.
Yeah, were his feet in the bath?
I don't know about that bit.
He probably wouldn't have told you, considering he would have weed himself.
Okay, so, Supernatural, what are we talking?
We're talking a creepy 5 out of 5. It just has to be. I know in lockdown I'm getting lax with the scores and I'm handing out fives like nobody's business. But this is a creepy 5 creeping at you across a moor.
Yeah, you look into a room because you thought you heard a 5 in there.
Yeah.
And you look, there's no 5 in there. And then you step into that room and the door starts to swing shut, and behind the door there's a blooming 5.
Yeah, you open the medicine cabinet, having not seen a 5. And then when you close it,
dunk,
there's
a 5.
There's a 5 right
there. It's 5.
It's 5 out of 5.
That is a 5.
Next category.
Category the second, naming.
There have been some cracking names. Obviously...
Yes.
It's a name you can say without any consonants.
Kick off with a B and then you just sort of oscillate your way to the end.
You just need a B in confidence and you can say that name. We've got the devil, or rather the D-L.
Could be Daniel.
We've got Daniel.
Probably the devil, though.
Don't invoke his name.
We've got old Tom Loxley.
A.K.A. Cockeye.
We've got Keyhole Granny.
Yes.
William Wood.
William Wood.
The Ball Inn. Those guys, they were balling.
Yeah.
The Noon of Night.
The Noon of Night.
Yeah, the little side story, the Lover's Leap Garage.
The Lover's Leap Garage. I think I'm knocking points off for the Lover's Leap Garage.
That's what it's called to this day, the Lover's Leap Garage.
By the way, Dog has just handed me a note. Mm-hmm. And it makes the valid observation that I should be deducting points for redacted names. And there were a few of those, James. So it can't be a full five.
Oh.
I think I'm going to go over a four, though, because Cockeye is a hilarious nickname. I hope you're happy with that.
By the way, Dog, that really hurts.
Well, the chat is not happy with that decision. That has gone down very poorly. But luckily, By the Way Dog is taking quite a lot of the heat for me.
By the way, Dog, you've really upset me.
I think it's a valid point.
I've always been more of a cat person, By the Way Dog.
Several people are scoring it themselves as 5 out of 5. That's not how it works. You have no authority.
No, I'll take the 4 out of 5.
Okay, so 4 out of 5. I don't care what everyone says.
I deserve it. I hope it makes me very happy.
What a sad little life, James. Next category.
Petticoat Parachute.
Petticoat Parachute.
Petticoat Parachute.
Ooh, Petticoat Parachute.
Petticoat Parachute came to town, falling off a cliff.
It's got a bit of a music hall vibe about it, doesn't it? It's one of those things that a spurned lady flinging herself off a cliff, tragic in the moment, but about half an hour later, already a hilarious slash romantic tale.
Yes.
It very quickly enters legend.
She's saved by a thorn bush in a petticoat.
Which sounds very uncomfortable, frankly. Mm. If she was floating down and then poof, the petticoat thumps out, then she just starts to drift.
Alice in Wonderland style.
Yeah. She has time to see the thorn bush coming and be like, wah! And sort of look to camera in a Wile E. Coyote style and be like, ah!
And then the parachute function is going to be pierced by the thorns.
Yeah.
So she's going to just be picking up speed.
Well, no wonder she didn't make it more than a couple of years after that.
Mm-hmm. There's also the petticoat on the ghostly petticoat.
Okay, the ghostly petticoat.
She's zipping around using that petticoat.
So you think she might be sort of creating a billow effect to...
Like a squid.
Moving like a squid.
But using the petticoat.
I tell you what, I'm doing an excellent mime of that. Wow.
That's a very good squid.
Sorry, I got distracted by how good I was at mime for a second there. Mm. It happens.
No, that'll definitely go in the podcast.
I aim to transition the podcast into a fully shadow puppetry-based podcast by the end of the year.
So is it a podcast that consists of people going, is that a real squid? No, we've come to see shadow puppetry.
Yeah, it takes Plato's cave and moves it one step forward. So there's a second cave where people are just hearing vague descriptions of the reactions of the people who are watching the shadows on the wall. It's very profound.
It's more, it's like a Plato's cave reaction vid.
Plato's cave reaction vid. Schrodinger's cat unboxing. Let's just do them all. All the classic thought experiments. Let's do it.
Don't forget to ring that like bell unless you want a Pavlov's dogs.
So a harsh scoremaster at this point would say, well, we've got two petticoats.
A petty scoremaster.
I think that would be petty, so I'm going to make it a 3.
Okay.
That's my offer to you.
Okay, three. And now... The final category.
Final category. Okay, I'm psyching myself up for it.
The category of pub.
This is a very, very pub story.
It's pubby, isn't it?
Like, it's very possible that what happened was a man became extremely drunk.
Yes.
It's possible that that's the entire story.
Yeah.
A man got so drunk that he couldn't sit on his chair, and then he fell in a stream.
Yes.
Like a skeptic might say, that's what happened.
But yeah, an accurate person would say, that is what happened.
You and I know the ghost dragged him into that stream.
Mm-hmm. Because he'd been...
I've got to go out there and, report this to the authorities. All the evidence we have says, old man in a stream.
Mm.
Old Cockeye, not the most reliable of characters in the first place. And we've got two pubs as well. You've got the Ball Inn.
And the Lover's Leap Inn.
The Lover's Leap Inn.
The power of pub. We've got the Potfollers, the Potfellows, his brother Toppers, hours flying by on angel's wings, a cup and glass covered table. And then you got the classic pub thing of like they're having a pub challenge. I'll go and have a word with that ghost and find out why she haunts this dell.
He didn't.
You just see if I don't. And he blooming had a go at doing it, but sadly fell in the stream.
Classic pub confidence, classic Dutch courage there.
Mm-hmm.
It's 5 out of 5.
Yes, 5 out of 5 for pub.
Because if there were no pub, none of this would ever have happened.
And I also spent ages looking up to see if I could find out the actual landlord.
Oh, you should find out his real name.
Couldn't find it. All the records start around 1811.
That's when Yaw ended.
Oh, that must be when it is, yeah.
That's when the modern era began and Yaw ended.
Oh, that turns out. Well, I'd like that we've answered that question, yeah.
And listen to the genuine note of surprise in our voice that has tied up nicely.
Mm. Yeah, that's really...
What's going on there?
Genuinely tied up nicely, yeah. That's not... No,
that never normally happens.
That's not not. Should I laugh at bosom again?
If you enjoyed listening to that as a podcast, you could just decide to give us money.
Yes.
That's the system we have.
Yeah.
You don't need it.
Yeah. I mean, what are you doing with it?
We see you in the street, riding in your carriages.
Jingling your money bags.
Jingling your money
attending
bags.
Attending Cockney funerals.
So if you want to give us a little bit of your money, go to patreon.com/lawmenpod.
Or if you just want to do it once, then go to ko-fi.com/lawmen.
No pod.
No pod on that one.
No pod needed.
And you can either buy us coffee or you could buy yourself a t-shirt. That's it. What we've basically done is we've become confused when seeing a pearly king there.
Mm-hmm. I realise now what's happened. Can't tell the difference between overdressed cockneys and rich people. Ugh.
I'm just doing some little tests at the moment, but there's actually something quite exciting coming up soon. T-shirt wise.
I mean, bearing in mind that most of our listeners have all old pearls and buttons and badges and bells.
Are they pearly kings and queens as well?
Oh, yeah, I'm confused. Again, I'm confused.
You might need a T-shirt to go underneath your pearly waistcoat. Just maybe, I guess that helps with minimising chafage.
Oh, the chafage.
Oh, imagine the between the thighs on a pearly king. Ouch.
Isn't that the title of your autobiography, James? Between the thighs of a pearly king.
Yes, brackets, ouch.